Blog Talk Radio.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now.
Yeah, I could use a dream or a genie or a wish to go back to a place much simpler than this. Cause after all the party and it's smashing and crashing, and all the glitz and the glam and the fashion, and all the pandemonium and all the madness, there comes a time where you fade to the blackness. And when you're staring at that phone in your lap and you hoping but some people never call you back, but that's just how the story unfolds. You get another hand soon after you fold. And when your plans unravel in the sand, what would you wish for if you had one chance? The airplane, airplane, sorry I'm late, I'm on my way, so don't close that gate. If I don't make that, then I switch my flight and I'll be right back at it by the end of the night.
Can we pretend that airplane's the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Can we pretend that airplane's the night sky like shooting stars? Right now.
Somebody take me back to the day before this was a job, before I got paid, before it ever mattered what I had in my bank. Yeah, back when I was trying to get a tip at Subway, and back when I was rapping for the hell of it. But nowadays we rapping to stay relevant. I'm guessing that if we can make some wishes out of airplanes, then maybe, yo, maybe I'll go back to the days before the politics that we call the rap game. And back when ain't nobody listened to my mixtape, and back before I tried to cover up my slang. But this is for Decatur, what's up, Bobby Ray? So can I get a wish to end the politics and get back to the music that started this shit? So here I stand, and then again I say, I'm hoping we can make some wishes out of airplanes.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now.
Hey everyone, welcome to Table Talk with T. And me and Ronan are here tonight in the house to just come up here and talk to you guys about a wide range of topics tonight. How's everybody doing in the chat room? And I see people calling in and listening on the line as well. Jamal talking about he just finished his homework. Ronan, you in the chat room?
I'm on my way there.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so tonight, you know, like we said last week, we're just going to wait till different, you know, stories hit the news and we'll just go from there. So one of the big stories that hit the news this weekend was the young lady in Louisiana who basically said that the KKK burnt her. She was walking through the woods and three KKK members in white hoods walked up to her. Supposedly she was wearing an Obama t-shirt, and then they proceeded to throw some type of lighter fluid on her and burn her alive. And they also sprawled KKK in the hood of her car. So this caused a huge uproar. Everybody was on Twitter, you know, going in, and, you know, you saw a lot of people's, you know, racism came out on both sides, black and white. I did see a lot of white people saying that, you know, that the story didn't sound right to them. It sounded fishy. A lot of us ran with it without really checking the facts. For some reason, it just didn't pan out to me. And I think what kind of caught my attention, why I didn't really speak on it when I initially heard the story, was the whole Obama t-shirt thing. It just sounded too political. It just sounded like there was just more to the mix. What did you think when you first heard the story, Ronan?
It just sounded a little bit fishy to me, because I remember when some of these incidents happened in Texas where someone, like... I don't remember the name, but there was a guy who was dragged out to death, like behind a truck. And
that was in South Carolina too.
And they killed them. Like, usually when you have Klansmen who do these different type of acts, they make sure to follow through. And
right.
And the weird thing was about, they had it, you know, the emphasis about the Obama T-shirt. Like, you know, true, there's some anti-Obama individuals out there who take it a little too far, like, you know, the bust, like the nooses of, I guess, mannequins and everything and all this ignorant stuff. But to be set on fire, it just, something just didn't feel right about the story. It just didn't.
Right. You know, what was kind of crazy about everything, you know, when it came out, it was a lie. I guess what kind of tripped me out, you know, a lot of people are coming with these conspiracy theories. What's up, JT? VH1 Access is in the house. But, you know, it's funny how people are still trying to excuse it. And, you know, I had people email me like, oh, well, first of all, how do you know the police could be lying? Louisiana's a racist state. People forget I spent 10 years down south. I just moved back up north. I lived in South Carolina. I lived in North Carolina. I saw KKK people, you know, so I've experienced racism and stuff like that. So this is nothing new. But like you said, when the KKK gets involved, they're going to finish the job. They're not going, they would have found her body. It wouldn't have been where she would have got away, especially 3 men. Come on now. But it's like people are coming up with all these conspiracies about how, you know, the police are covering up for her and everything else. And that doesn't sit well with me because let me take y'all back to 2008 during the McCain campaign and the whole Obama situation back in 08, there was a McCain campaign volunteer, and she claimed she was robbed and pinned to ground by black Obama supporters. She said it was like 3 or 4 black men, and she was 20 years old as well. She was a college student from Texas, okay? She claims that these Obama supporters, they jumped her, they robbed her, and they carved the letter B into her face. And a lot of people ran with that. You know, we were all types of N-words. We weren't shit. You know, black people are violent. These are, you know, Obama's people and everything else. So what ended up happening is, just like in this case, the police figured out something wasn't right. And when they looked at the B that was carved into her face, it was on her face backwards, showing she had did it to herself, and she was looking in the mirror when she did that. So when that came out and they proved her allegations to be false, and she tried to just start, you know, a race war or whatever, you know, just racial drama, I didn't see any black people or anybody for that matter saying, oh, well, it's a conspiracy and the police are lying. And, you know, how do we know that she wasn't jumped by some Obama supporters? No one said that. But why in this case, is, you know, people feel like there's a conspiracy behind that? You know, how did you feel about that situation?
That jog my memory a while ago, and I remember everyone was pulling off on a stunt, especially that one. So it was kind of hard to take things serious at the time. I mean, it's like, especially living in Indiana, when I was there when they got elected, Obama got elected, and I was right outside Chicago. There was all kind of incidents going on aside from the Acorn nonsense, and there's people on a small scale trying to get some racial stuff started. So it was kind of, it was at the time hard to take that stuff seriously. So when I heard that, and like, you know, oh, okay, let's see what's, it was back then, like with, especially with everything going on at stake, everyone was a little bit skeptical about how things are going to go, especially with the polls. So it was more like, you know, wait and see, you know, type of a feeling then. But that's the approach I take with it now. I mean, when you hear something like a racial story or whatever, you have to take it with a grain of salt because the media does kind of embellish quite a few things, and so do people do, especially for the sake of attention.
Right, and I think that's the saddest part. You know, like I said, the thing that kind of bothered me with the whole situation, you know, people's rebuttals were, well, you know, why would somebody burn themselves? You know, it has to be a lie, because why would somebody do that? And I mean, and I understand that, but when you're not sick or when you're not, you know, thinking with a clear mind, for all we know, she could be bipolar, manic depressive, schizophrenic. There might be some issues with this young lady. I think there has to be, because for you to splash lighter fluid on yourself and then burn yourself, from what I'm hearing now, they're saying that initially she had planned to harm her boyfriend or burn him. is a report. I don't know if you heard that, but that's the reports that I'm hearing, that initially she called her boyfriend to come meet her in the woods, and she was supposed to do something to him, and he told her, no, he's about to watch the football game, and he didn't go. And they said that enraged her, and that's why she did that. That's what I'm hearing. I'm not saying that that's fact. But you got to realize that at times you're okay, and you're mentally changed. Of course it's going to be hard for you to put yourself in her place. Because you don't have the mentality of working yourself alive or you know, cause harm to your body. But that's no different from the white woman who splashed her face with acid and then claimed that it was jealous women who did that. And when that story came out, I didn't buy it.
Right.
I didn't make a video on it until after, because I wanted to wait for the fact that somebody sound right. Because first of all, she wasn't, you know, crayon in the damn box. I'm like, well, these black women who are hating on her, she looks like regular, you know, she's no Pamela Anderson type. She's not, you know, I don't know, ever Marilyn Monroe type. She's like regular, you know, plain Jane. Right? Like, what did it make now? And then, you know, when I seen her and her on Oprah crying and, you know, just looking, it doesn't look like anybody splashed. It looks like it was, you know, strategically placed. And then it came out that she splashed shit down her face. So a lot of people are out here and they want attention. That was so way to get that attention, they can't.
So I mean,
what do you think about the whole situation? Do you think it was similar to like that of the actor lady? Because a lot of people comparing it to that case in New York a while back with the 15-year-old who said that what was five white police officers raped her, and they threw her dumped her like trash in that cause. That happened like in the 80s. I forget her name, but it was like a really big case back then. A lot of people were comparing it to the case people.
Well, first, I think, like, throughout the years, you're going to have some people who, just like kids, they're trying to play two sides against each other for the sake of attention by any means. Where you had a tremendous lady's name that talked about, you know, she drowned her kid, but said some black man stole her car and, you know, killed her kid. And for some reason, there's two demographics that happen to be the target of the blame. It's either it's black or you'll have white. And for some reason, some people are looking forward to gearing up this race war or whatever by any means necessary. And when you think about people, especially with the media, talking about, you know, we're in a post-racial area, actually it's the era where people are no longer hiding behind the political correctness as much as they used to. For some reason, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, I look at it and, like, really it's not that serious, you know, because common sense would tell you, you know, people should learn how to relate to themselves and each other. But for some reason, it's always this any measure of division out here. So, like, when you hear certain things, you know, this person did this, and I start looking at it more objectively, like, what did you do in many cases? Because some people just look to start some stuff just in order to, I guess, have some reality TV show of their own by any means. So,
and I think it's probably because, you know, it is to the society where we live in, where I want to have attention and you have attention. And however I get my 15th name, I'm going to go about it. It's unfortunate for her. I just understand, you know, that the baby's going to be a question. You have to be kind of sick mentally, you know, to go through that, you know. Now, I apologize if my mic is going out. Everybody saying that it sounds like I'm breaking up. Let me go ahead and try and see if I can switch microphones real quick. Ronan, say what you was going to say. Go ahead and try and switch.
In thinking about it, personally, I believe in a perfect world, which is possible, but for some reason, you know, it's not popular. People should learn how to accept and learn and embrace each other's differences. That way, they learn a whole great deal. Having been overseas, you tend to learn a lot more when you step outside the comfort zone or the shoebox that you know, respectively live in, and get a broader sense of not just self, but what other different cultures are, they present, and what they can bring into your life. Now, being that there are entities out here who are profiting off people, all manners of division. people have to really stop and think about certain things as to why they happen. When it comes to racism, that's a learned trait. It's for some reason, it's been generational because not just a fear, but a misinformation. And for outright ignorant reasons, really, it's an act of choice. It's a flawed mindset of the willing in most cases. So, personally, I would like to see, like, what the people in the chat room think about, you know, these different acts. You know, as far as when people have this innate fear of what is different, what they deem is not normal, or what would you suggest as far as bringing different, I mean, bringing different folks together and, like, tying in racial harmony more than anything.
Right, and I think, do I sound better? Because I switched mics. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you, guys, for letting me know. We've just been having a lot of technical issues on Blog Talk, but it's all good. I mean, I do think that the political season playing into the, like, more intense racism and the issues that are going on with race relations in the country, you know, I think, honestly, that America needs to have an open discussion. Because you have, like, even when I have discussions with a lot of my white friends, they tend to think, like, you know, race is a thing of the past. And, you know, I have black friends, and you're, like, one of my best friends, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, at the end of the day, there's still racism out there. There's, you know, I may not suffer the same amount of racism as anybody else. You know, it depends on where you live, your location, things like that. But I think we need to be open and honest and have an honest conversation and kind of sweep it underneath the rug, you know, because it's racist stories that boil over, that cause the conflict and the drama. I mean, some of the tweets I was reading on when the story first hit was really sad. You know, people were calling for the killing of white people. You know, and I have white folks in my family. I have white friends I'm cool with. But, you know, honestly, good people. Like, they're racist. They're, you know, they're cool. They're on earth. They have no problems. And, like, you know, you can't get anybody in that thing. It's different than race skinheads and get Kim and Brian go out and treat black person. Black people are worthless. It's just mad. It's mentality. It shouldn't be okay to say just because you're black versus you being white. You know, and I think, you know, first and foremost, to help with all the race issues in the country, there has to be open dialogue about it. You know, a lot of people thought just because Obama got into the White House, that was supposed to mean something. And it really don't mean anything. I mean, people are going to be racist regardless of the situation. So what do you think as far as, do you think this political season has a lot to do with it? Because it seems like, you have people who want to vote for Obama strictly because he's black. Then you have people who don't want to vote for him because he's black. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy how everything's playing out.
Well, in some ways, it's a bittersweet benefit to find out who is ignorant and who isn't. And because in one breath, I see that it is real lame for individuals to say, I'm voting for Obama because he's black. When you look at his genetic makeup, he's actually biracial. He's half black, half white. So, again, to, like, allow your choice to be because of a certain color or, you know, affinity to it, that speaks volumes of the ignorance that's out there. Because the most important thing that matters is how is this person going to make a difference regardless of their genetic makeup or whatever, or gender. You know, that's been the main issue. But for some reason, you start seeing these shirts called, you know, put white back in the White House, or, you know, these things, so, or petitions of the first family, you know, having watermelons on the lawn, and, you know, them as terrorists, and claiming that they're, all that stuff. I mean, again, it's like a lot of backwards bias out there for some reason. And, you know, once it starts coming into that, that's when I get turned off. I'm like, I turn the TV off, like, okay.
Right. And somebody in the chat room, Lacey May, I'm sorry if I can't say your name properly. in the chat room, and, she wasn't really aware of race until she moved down south. She's the folks down south. make her feel like she's not supposed to be afraid of white folks. And I can relate to that comment because I remember living in South Carolina. And do you know how you pull into somebody's driveway, basically? You know, like if you're going down the wrong street, you're like, I'll pull in your driveway, I'm a back out, leave. So we're like in the back of North Carolina. We was on our way somewhere, but we had made the wrong turn. So I pull up in this, you know, housing community, whatever. And, you know, I guess my friends are going to drive. And basically, I end up going to my driveway and back out, and she freaked out on me. Now, she's the old lady, so she's probably aged, like, 30s, whatever. And so she got real upset. She said, what are you doing? I was like, what are you talking about doing? And I was like, I'm acting out. She was like, you never, ever go up to my driveway. She was like, you know, that could be KKK. This is obviously a white hood. This could be some white folks. They can shoot you on their property. So I think a lot of it is just a generational thing. Part of the people down the house was raised, you know, certain things they just would not do. And, I mean, she flipped out on me to a point now where I would take the long road. Like, I pull up in people's driveways down south because that had me just kind of freaked out. She was like, you know, when I was younger, them being shit and, you know, people coming after them for doing that. So it's very true. I do remember that for her in South Carolina, you know, of the folks. People, like, you just need to know your place, you know, and it's that is.
That's crazy. I agree.
So I'm sure you probably experienced things like that off and on.
Yeah, off and on inside the military and out of it. I mean, really, if you think about it, it's not just centralized in the South. It's just when you go across the country and even overseas, it's expressed in different ways. You know, if you pay attention to what's going on, you know, some people can enforce their prejudice through legislation or other means made available to them. Otherwise, just some people just let you know up front that you're not welcome because of your differences. So, yeah, it's out there, most definitely out there.
Yeah, definitely crazy. That makes some really good points in the chat room. Like you said, it's the same people in South at the like Atlanta and Anderson are really beautiful cities we have. And I do agree with that. I'm a lot of beautiful cities in South, one of my favorite cities. This Florida is, much as we go in Florida, Florida is a beautiful state in itself. I love Miami. Jacksonville is cool, you know, depending on what part you're in. But, you know, there's a lot of beautiful places in the South, like beautiful history and things like that. But, you know, like you said in that room, ignorance is leading socially transmitted disease. and that's the truth, you know. And I think if a lot of us took time to just get to know one another, you know, whatever race is, once you take that time to step outside your comfort zone, you know, a little bit, you find that you have more in common with that person than you don't have in common with them. You know, I find out a lot of times about certain things with somebody because of their race or because where they're from. I got, well, they know. You know, we have such in common and cool and, you know, we have time. So I think if people kept that mentality, that would be a lot of the racist views that are out here. And it looks like we have some people calling in here. Let me see if I can screen this call real quick. Hello, you're on. Which? Oh.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
No, this is Ronan.
Oh, I don't know. I guess they're not trying to talk. They were on there at the hand. But anyway, so I was around to about, we got an hour and 5 minutes. So I don't think the situation her is insane. And the fact that they didn't make it the whole thing, you know, is very, very, very frustrating. So let's go ahead. The next topic that we will talk about was concerned the whole Nina Simone and Zoe Saldan. I don't know if I'm saying her last name right. But Zoe, the Dominican and Puerto Rican lady in the Avatar movie. Basically, has been given green light to play the role of Miss Simone. I did a video on this last night. Miss Simone is a historical jazz musician. She was a pianist. She was a social activist in the 60s. And a lot of people are very upset about her casting, including Nina Simone's daughter. The main reason why it's causing controversy, and I see about you, that's wrong, when I called you. I mean, when I told you who was playing it, you was like, what? How'd she get this role? You know, the main fact that she looks nothing like Nina Simone. And, you know, this is not to turn this in, you know, to make this whole Hispanic versus Black issue, because it's, you know, we know that people from Latin America, Hispanic, they have, you know, slavery did not was in North America. It was all through South America and the Caribbean. So I understand a lot of Latino, Dominican, Puerto Rican, they all have African ancestry in them. So it's not an issue about her ethnicity. The issue for me, anyway, is the fact that she looks absolutely nothing like Nina Simone. And the fact that put, you know, Zoe through, you know, a few hours worth of makeup, that damn pussy afro wig to play the role when they could have just got someone who naturally held features. You know, I'm just frustrated and I'm tired of Hollywood just whitewash everything. What did you think when you first heard about everything?
I'm still in disbelief because, like, for some reason, like, there's a lot of movie roles that they've bleached for some reason. And it is very unsettling. I mean, you figure there's quite a few people who've been more suitable for the role that you would have to use less makeup or had to use extra work for. You just, you can use the cast. I mean, you know, just as it put in the chat room, like, Erykah Badu would have been a better choice, you know, because she had more similar features. But for some reason, I don't know, like, personally, I believe they're trying to beef up her acting, you know, dossier or whatever. I mean, that's what I see it as. But I think they're just, like, going above and beyond to really try to put this thing out there. I mean, there's people who still question which is like, my guess is, you know, playing a role for, you know, Richard Pryor, which is not really far off, but, you know, this, as far as in this case with Nina Simone, no. Personally, no. They had to really sell this on me, but no, I'm not buying
it. I think Viola Davis has been a real good choice as well, you know, for that particular role. I guess, you know, for me, it's frustrating because I get emails from young girls, you know, and I see it with young girls, not having, like, especially like the darker skinned female. And I'm making this an issue where I'm not saying like women don't, in a certain way, or don't pick that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, you know, especially for dark skinned females, you don't see a lot of those images you live in. You don't see a lot of them in the movies. You know, especially when you look at, like, beauty magazine, like, you know, the beauty of the year or whatever, it's usually always, like, Halle Berry, Alicia Keys, Beyonce. They are supposed to be the reputation of Black women. But when I look at them, like, any of these women, it's not to take away from them. They're all beautiful women. But Lauryn Hill is beautiful. D'Ari is beautiful. You know, there's a lot of other beautiful women as well. Like, it is Black women always that beautiful. I, you know, really am in the U.S., that's what I'm trying to say. They always make Black women, when it comes to Hollywood, that way other people come from. So when I walk out, I see Rachel really mentally well. But again, when I walk out, all people of color, I see Black women of all shades, all skin tones, textures. So I just get tired of Hollywood always putting out this image when it comes to women, especially when it comes to beautiful women. They all look the same type. So I say in my video, I see that when they need to cast a dark skinned woman, you know, they had no problem casting precious. They made sure that that person was not ambiguous. They made sure that she was a bigger body woman. She wanted to be a Black woman. woman, there was no discussion, no openness to what her race was. So why can I do the same for Nina Simone? You saying? I just feel like it's kind of a slap in the face that they would rather for all the time and effort to put makeup on weed as opposed to a dark skinned actress to play that role. You know, I think there has to be some type of similarities, and people are saying in the chat room, Tina Turner, and she did. That is one of my, What's Love Got to Do with It, to still be one of my movies to this day. She dealt that role. And it wasn't necessarily about her and Tina looking just alike, but she embodied Tina. I could see Tina looking for like Angela Bassett. Look, don't see any really in Tina Simone. Just don't.
Right. I don't know. It's like,
so what do you think about that? There was no harm maker, black. There was no racial ambiguity to prepare. But when it comes to Tina Simone,
I'm thinking about this whole. Well, as I was saying, I'm thinking about this whole thing overall. And,
I thought the phone went out.
Yeah, you're coming in and out. But when I think about this, these casting of roles overall. Yeah, I agree. You know, even Sade would have been, you know, a better choice. But when you think about it, it's very psychological when they cast certain roles. Some people see, like, when, you know, again, it casts the whole thing about light and dark, because there's already a whole slew of individuals who have this insecurity about their color. You have dark-skinned women who feel less than, because, I mean, in many ways they're looked down upon because of their natural shade. And then you have women, you know, who are light skin or mixed race, you know, supposedly elevated or put on a pedestal. And there's, like, that whole thing about division. Like, where, like, young girls especially, they start looking at themselves, like, you know, they start having these insecurities bred by what they see on television. They figure if Halle Berry, who was in a very questionable role in Monsters Ball, got an Oscar. Or the dark-skinned, you know, women, you know, who do roles as far as the help and things of that nature. You have to look at all how they're playing the game, especially on the, you know, that the most important battlefield, which is the mind. So, I mean, again, it's like, and especially like movies like Precious, you know, there's some very dark and sad, and no pun intended, but roles and like movies that we start having people, especially people overseas, look at women of color and pretty much people of color in a certain light. And that's what they usually go by from what they see from the movies and television. That's their first and last, you know, impression, you know, of black people as a whole. So perhaps if, you know, the entire demographic does what they're supposed to do to change that image, you know, cut down on the ratchet stuff, which I would mostly appreciate, and have people see us more than just basketball playing, baby daddy ridden, you know, neck rolling, finger snapping, you know, pants sagging fooms. You know, we could be received a whole lot better than anything.
Right. So I think part of it is who is the stereotypical casting. You know, like, you rarely see, like, in a movie. I mean, granted, you have, like, the Denzels, you have the Will Smith, but most of the time you see young male shit in the movie, he's that stereotypical, like, you know, you know, so I was in, he's never in the scientist, or, you know, I remember, like, one of my favorite childhood movies was The Goonies. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why I wanted to talk about people it's like maybe, you know, when I was a kid watching that, I was no black. You know how come there's no black? You know, I'm the first black group, and I don't know, like, you know, imaginative. You know, can we not go and invent things and go after predators? So it's crazy. It's almost like from the time born, you know, being fed certain roles, we're taught our faith, you know, which is really unfortunate, you know, but it's crazy. We're at a lot of just food on my phone, kind of in and out as well. So I think part of it is something going on with a lot of pathways, so our mics are kind of going out on both ends. We're able to even hear us. But it's frustrating. Most of the same roles, and when it's a decent role, you know, it's something more positive. I always geared towards that. You're not full black. Somebody that I am big. You're not to take away from her. She's a good actress. But I just think because of everything, that Nina stood. And you're coming in there. Like I said, I'm not sure what's going on with my microphone. A lot is going on right now. So what do you think?
What's that?
So what do you think? What do you think about like the stereotypical black, like the literal stars, like all those same kind of thug characters? Like, why do they get a more positive role? The sound with these kind of stuff.
I believe they thrive on those stereotypical characters because anything outside of that would cause people to question what they've been programmed to believe. If they actually see people of color who are not, who are actually scientists, artists, bankers, everything across the spectrum and then some, then, you know, there are some, you know, entities that would not like the fact that we're much more than what we're being seen. But for some reason, you know, people, there are certain pockets within the African-American culture who thrive on the ignorance or the negative stereotypes. It's just like a foot race to futility, to where if you speak properly, you're being talking white, which is beyond me. Or if you carry yourself in a different light, if you walk with a belt, you know, properly used, or if you, you know, don't bounce when you walk, or just all kind of ignorant stuff. You know, there's all kind of different so-called violations to your street cred or, you know, ghetto pass, which is something highly overrated. Again, ignorance is no respecter of color, creed, or gender. Obviously, we can see that. So I have an issue, especially people with color who love to embrace those negative stereotypes. I mean, again, you hear that foolishness about when you see shows like as far as like the Madea plays or shows, movies, when it's really the same old script, just a different character here and there and a different wig. It's the same mess. A whole bunch of cooning and buffooning. Just some very negative connotations to where you have women of color who are always doing some oddball antics, and then some guy, for some reason, a light-skinned guy with no shirt on and a fog machine and background music comes to save the day and save her from herself. I mean, you figure out, like, again, like when I watch movies, I watch it first time for entertainment value. The second time, I'm watching to see the other messages that are being sent to not just myself but to others. And for some reason, you know, in a lot of movies, especially like with The Color Purple, we having things about back in the 30s where it seemed like, you know, there's a whole lot of domestic abuse. But really, I don't think a lot of that stuff happened, but it's something to embellish, you know. And really, I would prefer to see some actual movies of color not get FedEx to the straight to DVD bin. You know, something, you know, something more entertaining, more thought provoking. You know, there's a few actors who can who manage to do that, but you figure, I mean, we have to expand beyond more genres than just hood movies and, you know, hair shop movies and, you know, all this things where people, you know, start. I mean, actually, being having gone overseas, I've had people honestly believe that we were supposed to talk. I mean, speak like in jive or slang, when, and they were amazed that we weren't doing that. So, I mean, again, it starts with, you know, within us, and especially with people of different demographics. You know, they paint Italians in a certain light. They figure, you know, they're a bunch of mobsters, or, you know, there's all kind of crazy stuff when there's more to them than, you know, what we see. Or see with the Irish, you figure, I mean, like, as far as people depict them, they figure there's just a bunch of drunks running around. Or with especially people of like Caucasians, where you start seeing some real, like, it's supposed to be corny and rhythmless and all that stuff. I mean, it's like, again, if people, there's a lot of people who benefit by putting racial blinders on everyone else and keeping everybody's body for a reason.
Right.
That's what I personally feel about it.
Remember that scene? Let me know if you hear me right now. Can you
hear
me this time? Okay, because I'm gonna try like that. Lucky back to 09. But so I'm talking to my Mac. Basically, that scene, every time she's in the mirror, she kept it. Anywhere, you know, like some subliminal messages and stuff like that in movies to kind of brainwash people and get people, like, you know, there. In that room, they're quite clearly very show movies of acting a different light, which I will agree with. But then again, it's like so much common animosity, even with him beefing with Larry Bird. Taylor has talked a lot now about this, because she's trying to play this action hero guy, but for the past, you know, 10 years, you've been forms in itself by him running around the rest and everything else. So now, it's like a lot of people are kind of like, you know, as far as the movie industry, would they do a positive representation of black people? I think that with black people, which I really enjoyed, was Black Man. Really, it was a good cast. You know, I feel about me at times when I was feeling these movies, because you get a movie role just because you're Chris Brown, or just because you can rap and sing and people recognize you, because a lot of the people.
Hello. Are you there, T? Well, ladies and gentlemen, while T is getting her phone back together, you can actually start texting in your thoughts and concerns about the show so far. Sure where. There she
goes.
Okay,
yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay, it had went out or something. There's definitely my talk radio. It, like, completely kicked me out, and then it said we're reconnecting now, so.
Yeah, you were sounding just like people in the chat room were saying, you were sounding chopped and screwed. So, welcome back.
Yeah, you got an email the second week where they messing up audio. I still sound chopped and screwed.
Slightly, there's a slight little mix in there. Just try to talk away from the receiver, it might be different.
No, I'm using it just on the Mac. So, what did I do with that podcast, please?
What was that?
I got a podcast. I was talking about, like, about you know, as much as we should.
I caught half of that. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Back to Mike. Hold up. Okay. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay. We're going to try this again. Now, I was saying about Spike Lee, you know, as far as us not supporting his movies as much as we should, you know, do you think that that plays, you know, a part in it? Because now everybody's kind of turning on Tyler Perry, and he tried to come out with that new movie, and people aren't really supporting it because they're so used to seeing him in a dress.
Right. You're definitely right about that part. With the, a lot of people have been accustomed to Tyler Perry donning the drag and pretty much going extra mile with the over-the-top antics on the on these shows that he's been doing. With Spike Lee, from what I remember, he tackled quite a few issues that people need to look at, not just as far as the film, but themselves. And that's what I gathered from a lot of it. You know, films like, you know, Do the Right Thing, Jungle Fever, things that dealt with the proverbial pink elephants of the room at the time. And, you know, now that they're trying to add some testosterone to Tyler Perry's characters, they see that it's not going over because for quite some time that he's been one-dimensional, you know, to a degree. You figure, like, yeah, you can talk about things with church and, you know, about the plight of black women. You know, a lot of stuff was, like, more like a mental masturbation personally. But you have to, like, I mean, even Tarantino every now and then pushes the line. But then once you set yourself inside of a box, it's kind of hard to get yourself out of it. You have to work probably three or more times over. The crossover. So, I mean, I do kind of miss, you know, Spike's artistic works out there. And there's quite a few other directors who managed to, like, cross the, you know, lines and really push people to think. You know, no shade on Tyler Perry, but a lot of stuff, I lost brain cells watching. So.
Right. And, you know, and I think it's kind of fortunate because it's like, so now he's like getting upset that people aren't supporting him as much. Now he's stepped out the bottom. So it's some of what we want. He run around in a dress and acting like a woman, and then when he supports it, I can convince you that next comes off the top of the list, rocking a dress, we'll be back next season. So I get it, but nobody's buying it. You know, for him, and that's where a lot of the beef stem between him and Spidey. I got a joke. You are such a mess. So yeah, we gotta find that. You said that you have across a story that you had wanted to talk about. I thought it was really interesting. What would you have across on that?
Hey. Won't you try what you did again with your Clarity?
Nothing. That's just my thoughts. They have a deal with Cricket. Can you hear me now?
yeah, it sounds like you just someone in the bill for your beef or someone shooting on the phone, right?
Because that's, and you're sounding like you're underwater. They're cracking me up in the chat room. Okay, so anyway, tell them what you were going to say about that story they had in Michigan, what they're trying to do in Michigan, because I'm sure people aren't aware of it.
Actually, I ran across this online where there's a law that's going to be put into effect in, I want to say, October, in the late October, early November, where if the kids are truant after so many times, that their the parents, their welfare benefits going to be cut off. And there's quite a few mothers and, well, especially some mothers of low-income families who are not too pleased about, you know, the law, you know, and And there was one of the parents watching the video mentioned, you know, they don't have any control of what the child does once they step outside the home, which was, I thought personally was a little unsettling to hear. But for given this day and age, sadly, all too common with this kind of mindset and stance. So,
right, and that was a big debate. You know, a lot of people are saying that if you can't keep track of your children and can't make sure they go to the school every day, then you shouldn't be receiving food stamps and welfare. So that's something they're trying to pass right now in Detroit. I know in other cities they've also passed things. If you want to get benefits, you have to take drug testing, because people say, okay, if I take a piss test to get a job, why shouldn't you have to take a piss test to get a, you know, welfare check? It's the same thing, you're getting monthly check to be able to, you know, let people know if you're drugs or not. A lot of people say that that it's not fair and that it's affecting people who really need benefits. So, I mean, it's insane. But I guess I can see both parts of it, you know, because, again, they'll make more parents stay on top of their kids. Like, as far as, okay, if you know where your child is at, your child is at school, you're staying on top of them, you're going to get rewarded with your benefits. Whereas if you don't care what your child does and your child is kind of in and out the home doing what they want to do, then, you know, you risk losing your money. You know, but it's kind of crazy because, like somebody, like Jamal is saying in the chat room, you know, it's kind of unfair because Michigan is already a dangerous, poor state. And they don't need it to be, you know, a situation where it's getting worse. Now they're trying to cut off people's benefits for any type of reason.
Yeah. And I definitely agree with that. It is a cause for concern. But as far as what I remember being raised, like, parents in many areas, like, yeah. And you couldn't tell them, you know, how not parent their children. You know, they stayed involved in the schools. They were there at parent-teacher meetings. They actually fought for their kids because their children were their raised in very minute of their time. But nowadays, you have a lot of parents, single parents, who are busy child to their child. Or using a child support as, you know, personally, I believe, the po-ho hustle. But, you know, just, you know, sitting back and, you know, reaping the benefits of popping out babies like Pez, I think it's unsettling that, you know, it has to come to this where you have to be forced to take care of your children and be parents. But, sadly, this is what it has to be, because for some reason a lot of individuals make a check by, you know, looking at the ceiling and knocked up. I'm not making a generalization out there, but, I mean, seeing this from personal experience, yeah, it seems like, you know, that's the thing to do, especially around tax time when you go around and claiming other people's kids and whatnot. So, again, in some ways it is a forced measure of accountability, but the fact that it has to be this way is it's quite disappointing, personally.
Right, and it's not like there's no personal responsibility. I mean, to the point where you're getting a letter saying that your child hasn't been in school in the past month and welfare benefits getting cut off, why it seems like they're more concerned about the welfare benefits, which I understand because that's their money, that's their food stamps, but where was your concern before it got that bad?
Right.
And, you know, and a lot of people's excuses are, well, my son, I can't control them, but they aren't high school seniors who are 18 years old. A lot of kids are under the age of, you know, 16 and under that are not going to school in Michigan. That it's going to be a really big problem. So they're not accountable. And honestly, the parents, you know, and I 100% with benefits, because some people really do need their benefits and some people really cannot control their children. But again, that says a lot about the parents. Can't control your child. When you get your child to go to school and they're 13, 14. As kids, you do have a guy in life but to go to school. I mean, I don't even understand how that's even a debate. Like, that wasn't an option for me. I was like, you know, I just don't go to school today. If you don't, you getting up out this house. You know, like, we had to go to school. Like, it wasn't no argument. It wasn't no, I'm just going to just lay around and just chill. I don't feel like going today. this is part of what you did as a kid, but now it's almost like a lot of kids, you know, they run the house. They turn in one of the school if they feel like it.
Well, it's a result of a lot of things that have been taking place over the years. I mean, you figure being that it started changing from a single parent income to a dual parent income, having children, I mean, pretty much having the parents have to both go to work, and then there's been division as far as with the community to where there's a time where the kids were watched by family members. Now, you know, they're putting them in institutions as far as like daycare centers or whatever, which in some cases they're being preyed upon by, you know, different individuals. That's a whole other story. Then you're having parents, you know, young parents, and actually it's not uncommon now to see grandparents at late 30s, early 40s, you know, where there's still, you know, three generations are in the club right now. So,
right.
Again, I mean, with the destruction of the family structure, you're seeing a whole lot of chaos and imbalance going to schools. And there are certain entities that they thrive on this stuff. I mean, you figure they got stock in prison. You already know that they've already had this stuff planned. And I mean, it's like this whole thing about, you know, with the benefits, in some degree, I understand with the necessary, why they're necessary. But, you know, to see people abuse the privilege of this and all that, it actually exposes a lot. Because a lot of parents, you know, have become more lazy and self-serving. And, you know, a lot of us are reaping the... I wouldn't say benefits, but we're reaping the repercussions of it. So there has to be some stopgaps out there besides this one. Personally, you know, you shouldn't have to be forced to take a drug test in order to be a parent. But for some reason now, you're going to have people who are going to do it so they won't mess up their allowance. It's not money, it's an allowance. And I could talk about this, but you go ahead, because I just get a little frustrated thinking about it.
Are you right? I mean, you know, talking about it, that right now, talking about my job, and I'm just reminding that it would definitely lower Detroit's crime rate if these people were forced to go to school, and if the parents are more comfortable. And I agree with that. I just, you know, maybe kids get a certain age, they may feel like they don't have to go to school, but I think it's the job as a parent until that child is of a certain age. You have to encourage them to do the right thing. You know, it shouldn't take benefits from you. It shouldn't take, you know, once again, the nanny state to step in and say you're being a parent. This is what you do to parent a child. A lot of it should just be, you know, common sense.
Right.
But unfortunately, common sense is so common. You have parents who sit around all day, don't work, don't nothing, so the kids that feel like, you know, you're not going to work, why shut up and go to school every week? I don't feel going. Same way you don't feel going to work. So, you know, one of those things where, you know, sometimes you got to practice what you preach. And this is not towards people who are on, you know, welfare because they're disabled or because they can't work. This is for the ones who are constantly off and on, who just don't feel like working, you know, who are hustling the system more or less. It seems like they're the ones who are more pissed. The ones who actually need it. I can only assume that they're probably on top of kids because they honestly need those benefits. So they're going to remember that they're there to go to school. The ones just like, you know, you can't be go, I don't want to be bothered. Because if you don't want to be bothered with your child, you don't want to be bothered with your child, regardless of the situation.
Right.
Which is very important. But like I said, it's the nanny state. They're going to see what you can and can't do. You know, what benefits can it have? What do you feel about them doing the whole testing thing? You know, I would kind of make that effort because I felt like it's going to affect more people of color. Just for that, not saying that more people of color smoke weed, but I feel like they're going to focus it more on people of color. Like, okay, now you guys are trying to force people to take a drug test in order to get benefits. But you know what? I don't I don't really have a problem with that now, because I feel like if you can lay around all day, roll up blunts, and, you know, take, you know, pop ecstasy pills, then there's no reason why you can't go to work.
Yeah.
Point, you know, why should you be at home enjoying a fat blunt, and I got to be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning? Yep, call me a hater. I'm just saying. So I don't have a problem with them testing people who are getting welfare money.
I don't have a problem with it either, because, again, I, seeing it in person, there's just some people who feel it's cool to get paid just to lay around. And I'm not saying, like, people of lower incomes are lazy, but I've seen individuals who just, like, brag about it. Like, you know, man, I got this free money. I'm about, you know, do my thing and, you know, on the side either, you know, do hair, sell dope, or just all kind of ignorant stuff, you know, to get over. You know, it's like always find ways to excel in underachievement. And it makes people who actually need the services and benefits look real bad. And now, granted, there's more people, I say, of a Caucasian demographic who are on it. Again, I don't believe what the media says, but a lot of times that's what they paint the picture as, people of color always being on, dependent on welfare. You know, really, they dismiss the fact that there are still homeless veterans out there. There's still individuals who are still catching hell and being forced out of their homes, especially out there in places like Detroit and all that, that can't help but to have accelerated ranking as far as with crime. I mean, Detroit is like number one of the most dangerous cities right now because of the results of this. You know, you figure once they took away the automotive industry stuff, I mean, the side of Detroit, which was thriving with that, everything started going to shit. And again, it's like when you see these things, people have to really take into account of there's much more education beyond what you get from the books. You could have a PhD and a doctorate, and you can still be ignorant to everything that's going on. I mean, it's like you look at everything with politics. You look at everything as far as socially, ethnically, interpersonally. There's different courses that you need to take, and you don't need a paper to see what you learn. You actually apply that once you earn it, as far as through wisdom. And again, all this is like a domino effect. It's like collateral damage to people who figure, like, all I got to do is go get a job. I mean, go to college, get a job, and keep it moving. You know, that's a whole other subject in itself, but it really is a whole multi-layered onion that a lot of us have been conditioned not to look into.
Right. You know, like they're saying, you know, like, have a lot of people who are comfortable with selling their food stamps, selling their benefits, you know, and it's true. We have everywhere, you know, all over. We see it up here too, Midwest, where people, you know, sell their benefits. You got people now. I remember this dude came up to us who was shopping at the store, and he was trying to get 70 for 50. Like, he wanted $70 for $50 worth of food stamps. I'm like, I'm going to need you to move on with that. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not even how it's supposed to go. But it's just the point, like, you know, everybody is trying to, he probably didn't need to. You know, if you had to give away a sale, then 9 times out of 10, just people need his stamp. You know, it's kind of sad because the people who do need them, they kind of run you out of welfare profit. You know, get laid out for a month to dig all in your business and make sure, like, but then you got people who don't need them but have kids and work, but it's like they get food stamps, medical, get things. But let's just look for just a few. They want a professional. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. And they're even sitting in that room. They out here selling EBT cards. Food stamps. It really is. I mean, people see right now, and it's crazy how food, I could probably eat. Food stamps. You know, so, you know, that they can, whatever can do to, you know, hustle and get things, they can do that, you know. But it's just unfortunate because you have people who truly need this and get lumped with the ones who are on the benefits because they're just lazy and they don't want to work. And not a lot of people, I know more people who don't work than do people who are on the system who truly need, you know, and that's something.
Yeah. What's that?
You even have people who get extensions and say you get an extension if you have more kids. So if you're 5 years up, then they'll extend you like another 3 years. So it's kind of crazy. You know, it's definitely caused the whole group of people to not be able to spend it up. You know, depending on the government help and for him. And again, this is not for anybody who truly needs it. For people who are disabled, for people who don't answer their this is not for my or habitual welfare recipient. No plan getting out for work. Whenever your time is up, or get pregnant. So people like that, you know, and it's real. They'll tell you. You know, and it's unfortunate, but that's how it is sometimes.
Yeah. And that's true even with as far as with child support. You know, it goes back to that trained mindset where I can make more money if I choose to have more kids. A lot of times people don't admit it, but, you know, they do treat their children like unemployment vouchers. You know, you figure you get a little money for about 18 plus years. You don't have to worry about work if you got enough of them. But, you know, they don't. They basically teach people to discount the need and the concerns of actual, I mean, what children need besides providing money every first and 15th. Yeah, I just never bought into the whole mindset where I can have, like, several kids, like, you know, the little woman to chew and not have to worry about working. Because what happens when they take that benefit away? You know, how are you going to feed your children? Like, what do you teach your children? Because, again, like, kids are not cheap. They're not cheap
at all.
Hell no. And I just wonder, when I go out and I see all these single mothers, I've seen some who had 10 kids. And I'm just, like, wondering, like, wow, just I have a whole lot of questions, but, you know, I'm figuring, like, what are you going to do when they actually take the stuff off? Because, again, I won't be surprised in 5 or so years that certain liberties that we take advantage of now here. Some people are going to be in a world of hurt. Go ahead.
So, thank you. For a fact, I'm not sure you'll probably be revamping and getting rid of the welfare system. Mitt Romney, you know, I definitely think that if he gets into the president's seat, he's probably going to be not for benefits. Definitely not for the he's for rich. So, you know, people who are more wealthy, it's one of their complaints. You know, youth eaters, the people who are just, you know, milk system. Even though they don't realize that it's not consistent, unfortunately. But, with 10 kids, none of them are important. But that's the part, though. Some of the people, they be more kids than the people who have to go to work every day. You know, and Jordans and Hollister and everything, and it's stock comments up the UM. You know, which is just. It's fortunate. It's frustrating. You know, it's like, you know, what you do. But like you said, in 5 years, it may be because the country's gone broke. And I think, you know, once they start going through the finances and trying to figure stuff out, it's going to be a lot more benefits cut, which is going to be important. You already have rec centers, a lot of the new programs, a lot of the after programs are going to take it, you know, because they can't afford people. You can't afford to pay people to run these programs anymore. So now you have more kids on the street. So it's a really dangerous cycle, you know, fortunate. So last but not least, we have about 20 minutes left, and then we're going to get up out of here. Did you watch the special with Diane Sawyer, ABC News, about the Chicago violence. Diane Sawyer went into the, I don't know if y'all, it was pretty good. It's called Don't Want to Grow Up. And it was an ABC special. It was last Friday. And basically, Diane Sawyer to Chicago. She goes to the Ingle neighborhood. She goes to the South Side of Chicago. And basically, she ends up bringing together all these gangbangers from different parts of the city. So you got like GDs, Vice, Black People, Latino Gang, Latin Gang, just all these different gangs. They brought together like 38 kids, different fractions. Basically sat them down in the church, got rid of all the things, took their cutters and knives and stuff from them. And basically we're talking to people like, you know, what is the issue? Why are y'all killing each other? What's going on with you guys? You know, and all speaking about it as far as, you know, the violence and how it's a never-ending situation. And the kids, and I forgot what gang he was in, he was like, you know, we're not trying to be out here doing this. We're not trying to be out here, you know, killing each other and gangbanging, but what are the alternatives? He was like, you know, if you get a job, I work. But it's for us. So we have no choice but to sell drugs. We have no choice but to sit there and hustle. So, you know, it's almost a hopelessness that's going on, not just in Chicago, and I hate the fact that we always focus on Chicago, but it's all over. You know, so I think part of it is necessarily people want to sit around and expect a handout. There isn't a lot of jobs. A lot of times they're not willing to hire young people. So I thought it was really interesting and special, you know, how they were able to dwell into the lives of all these kids. And they even spoke about Chief Keith and how his music is affecting you know, the gang scene in Chicago and how a lot of kids now trying to imitate that lifestyle, hoping to get put on and get signed, like Aftermath. So did you see this special at all, or what do you think about what I was describing? Because they did have a piece of it on both sides of hip-hop.
I haven't seen the special yet. I remember the situation with the Lupe and, you know, that Chief Keef dude, and how that went down. We talked about that. And still, that's one of my main concerns about what was not discussed as far as with the presidential debate as to why they've allowed or haven't even discussed about dealing with the homegrown terrorists that, you know, are in our borders. Them being gangs and being things similar to that nature. And, you know, with again, that's the whole thing about fostering. I still have to check this video out personally because I'm interested in finding out because I kind of missed that one. But in general, it's like when we're hyping this, pushing this up, I get tired of the little backlash that comes from it because either when I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I still get looked at as one of these little, you know, retards who get out here and do what they do. So, I mean, again, like there's still, I put a little emphasis on the parents that who have been having to take care of business. I always hit my phone. But that's how I personally feel about it right now.
Right. You know, like I said in the special, it was interesting. I went down there, and somebody said I heard Chief Keef had Asperger, or whatever it's pronounced, syndrome. And he does. I did hear about that syndrome. But even with the syndrome, it doesn't prevent him from gangbanging. I always find that, you know, crazy. Like, people have issues, but it does prevent them from doing dirt. I know somebody who is in a wheelchair, but, you know, he still bangs. So, you know, it doesn't prevent him from doing dirt regardless of what wrong with them. You know, the whole situation with these teens is just, it's sad. You know, like you said, you have some parents, you know, like my others, kids, but I think part of it is just we have to be more, you know, like you said, we might be a parent. So, and it's still weird. You having to go to the parents and see, like, you know, I feel like mom and teachers and stuff like that. But cool, I went to my oldest son's school yesterday, and I meet teachers and the car and transition And a few of his teachers even asked me, like, you know, he really participates in class. He's really well behaved, you know, like, because I think they were kind of young. I mean, supposed to see how young I was coming in with him and issue with his demeanor, how he behaves. But like I told his science teacher, I don't play that with him. You know what I'm saying? School is for you to learn. It's not for you to, you're not going to school to make friends. Friends aren't nice, but friends are secondary. You know, you're going to school to do the right thing. I said, he knows I don't play when it comes to certain things. You know, we can joke all day. You know, me and my son are really close. You know, we play video games. We can chop it up. But when it comes to that schoolwork, you're going to be on top because that's what I don't want, you know, him messing up, not listening, crazy in school. At the end of the day, that's what's like on me as a parent. And the first thing I say is she's a young parent. That's why her son's doing that. There's no excuse. You know, but it felt good, you know, to get those comments from his teachers that he was doing everything and he was participating and, you know, getting good grades and stuff like that. Because a lot of times, you know, people write us off, you know, especially if you're younger. That's an excuse that people use. Well, you know, she had the baby at 15, so the baby ain't going to be shit. Nah, if anything, you got to go harder. You got to go 10 times as hard that career to be a decent parent. No, he's a perfect parent, and no such thing as that. But I think you have to go 10 times as hard, and you definitely have to lead by example because you can't sit up here and tell your child one thing you do want another. You think, you know, honesty is definitely the best policy. Just keep it real and keep it open, letting your kids know they can come and talk to you. I think that would deter the kids from, you know, running the street, you know, and like a strong enough mentality where they don't have to fall into that peer pressure. But again, yeah, it's also going to depend on your neighborhood and where you grew up at and, you know, things like that. If your mom's a gangbanger and your dad's a gangbanger, 9 out of 10, yeah, that's the lifestyle you're going to follow because all you knew. So it's up to the adults to change their mentality and grow up. You know, we're not going to be 8, 29, 30 forever. You know, at a point in time, we need to look at it like, okay, we got these kids out here. What are we going to do to raise them better? Because it's really sad, you know. And when I seen the title of that show, you know, don't trying to grow up, sick,
yeah,
you know, but yet and still we're over here worrying about everybody else's business and we're in Afghanistan, we're in Iraq, we're in Mexico, we're everywhere. But like you said, we have terrorists out here in our own backyards who were terrorizing the community where, you know, a lot of these kids that were built on this special, they were doing nothing more than what my kids do, playing in front of their house, you know, told you, you're not supposed to go on the street. You're going to stay right here where I can keep an eye on you. You know,
yeah,
not to be safe on your own porch is disgusting. You know, it just broke my heart out of the story. You know, kids, like one story was this little Mexican girl, beautiful girl. You know, she was on the porch. Her mom was doing her hair. Her mom was doing her hair, and some, you know, gangbanger came by and blatantly shot the little girl. So it's almost like it's just like there's no code of ethics anymore.
Yeah.
At all. There's none. I remember we was growing up. You know, I think it was said on the previous shows, like there was some respect for that. You always had gangs. Gangs were always there. But I remember when everything was going down, you know, in the early 90s in Chicago, like a lot of the stories, when a kid got, that was a big deal. That was a big thing. It got shut down. The gang leaders, man. But now there's no leadership. There's none of that. So now these kids are left out. There's no parental system. So you 13-year-olds out here carrying guns, not, you know, thinking twice about shooting a 10-year-old. You know, it's really, really disheartening.
You made a great point, especially when you talked about how things are quite different. Back then, even with gangs and other certain organizations, there was a code of ethics then. They carry things out in a different manner than they are now. Right now, it's just outright reckless. It's not uncommon for people to make things personal when back then that was the last thing anybody wanted to do because they knew things would get messy. So, I mean, again, it's like once you have that supposed leadership that has no sense of honor, even as twisted as it can be, then we have what we have now. Everyone's a target.
Right.
And, you know, again, that's why I label the whole thing about terrorism, because terrorists, they use the media, they use different forms of fear and violence to promote themselves and control people. And you know, listening to the bass, I understand why people are getting excited, you know, saying, you know, Mitt Romney's an android and, like, in, basically saying, you know, pro-Obama and everything like that, but no one has addressed the issues at hand that we deal with all day, every day. No one knows when they can, when they're just trying to get to, I mean, go to their job and do their 9-to-5 and worry about getting shot or getting beat up for no fucking reason because you're wearing a color that you like, but you have, I mean, you're stereotyped of having an affiliation with a rival gang or something. Or just for the fact that someone just felt like hurting somebody that day, and that's their initiation. Because that's nowadays, you're seeing more young kids who are beating the hell out of people for no reason. Like the lady in Philadelphia, like, who was mentally challenged, she got beat up. Just because.
Jumped by those girls.
Yeah. And now it's just like, it's a literal free-for-all. And the thing is, if they don't address this stuff in a timely manner, there's going to be a line of sand that's going to be crossed. And then who knows what will happen after that. Because then people are getting tired. You get tired of people getting picked on, spit on, figure they can do anything they want to, and you're not supposed to have any course or repercussions or anything, you know, just allow it to happen. People are starting to fight back. And they're risking their jobs and even their lives to do so. I mean, just like old girl who got uppercutted like last week, a few weeks ago, or, you know.
God, you can.
or you
had
that
girl back up.
Or you having them young girls in New York who jumped an old veteran and cut.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it was a few days ago. They jumped the old man, and like an old veteran. I don't know if he was homeless or not. I have to remember the story. But he got jumped, and they cut him. He was fighting him back, and, you know, the chicks got arrested. And a lot of this stuff is happening like wildfire. Like, it's not like – lately it hasn't been a day without someone doing something completely stupid. And
right.
Again, they're trying to put laws to where you can't defend yourself, and it's going to come to a point where people are going to say, fuck it, and there's going to be nothing but chaos in the streets. And I believe, personally, this is being planned intentionally for something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too much of a coincidence nowadays. I'm not, you know, some grand conspiracy theorist, but, you know, when you start reading books like, you know, The Art of War and 33 Strategies of War, you start seeing things for what they are, and you're like, you know what, something is not right about them. And people need to learn to start looking at the bigger picture here.
Right, and a lot of people are making a lot of really good comments in the chat room. Santiago said, how can we start trying to clean up other countries when we still have senseless violence in our major cities? Red was saying, level orange, level red, everybody runs and hides under the bed. Danica feels that the government should focus on things outside of America and forget rebuilding this dump of a country because it's turned into a police state. Shamara is asking me if I heard about the 14-year-old special guy who got beat up by two high school seniors in Mississippi, and I haven't heard about that story yet. Feel free to send it to me either here or on YouTube. I haven't heard about that story, but... Yeah, it's like a different story. Like you said, every day it's something different. Every day it's something. Like, you barely even see stories anymore. And if you do, it's just like, you know, a quick blip, and that's it. You know,
yeah.
But again, part of that is society. You know, are we, you know, to report on a decent story, they're not going to get as many hits. When you report, oh, this class of, you know, 100 high school students graduated, they might get 2-3 comments. Congrats, next. You know, but if you say this group of high school boys jumped the janitor, the story goes viral. You know,
yeah.
So it's sad. It's unfortunate, but it's almost like that's the way things are nowadays.
And you're right about that, because it seems like when you look at it, we're actively witnessing the de-evolution of humanity as we know it. When you have TMZ being credited as a credible news source,
right?
We have fucking problems. We constantly have problems.
Well, that's how that story got so big with the black girl who burnt herself, Sharmika. And even the Louisiana police were real upset because a lot of the blogs, they added their own spin to it. Because initially when it came out, they never, ever said she had on an Obama T-shirt. But then the blogs decided to add this and to add that. And because so many of us now get our news from the blogs, a lot of times we hear stuff and we don't question it. And that's the sad part. You always have to question whatever you hear from somebody. I don't care if it's me, if it's media takeout, if it's the old man down the street. You always question something. Because, you know, people can always add their own spin to it. And like you said, people are now considering TMZ, a blog site, you know, a gossip site nonetheless, as credible news. But I also blame the media because you have them featured all the time on, like, Fox, not Fox News, but CNN. You know, they feature them like these are real journalism, and there's no more journalism anymore. This is not. It's like journalism now is just falling by the wayside. It's all about salacious gossip. Like back then, I remember back when I was younger, like if a newspaper, you know, printed something that was incorrect or not factual, they had to apologize. They had to try to retract and say, you know what, that story was false. We apologize. Sorry to anybody who's hurt. Now people can put out whatever on the internet, and if it's true, it's true. But 9 times out of 10, a lot of times it's not true, but there's never an apology. There's never a retraction. So I was like, oh, well. But yeah, and still that person's reputation is still destroyed and in shatters, but no one cares. So, I mean, it's almost the mentality of the people.
I don't know, I'm popping popcorn on my phone.
You said what?
Sound like with my phone, it's like I'm popping popcorn right now, too. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, this audio is crap on Blog Talk Radio. I will be sending them an email to see if they can fix the situation. If it continues where it keeps in and out, we keep having audio problems, we'll move it to another site. We'll find another online hosting site. Because, I mean, audio is important because it's not like we're on video, so we definitely have to have the audio where it needs to be. But it's a Blog Talk Radio issue, and it seems like it's been going on now. This is the second week, so hopefully they'll get on it. So I do apologize for the in and out and things like that. But we're down to our last 2 minutes, and this was a really good discussion. I enjoyed all the topics and everything that everybody was debating and talking about in the chat room. You guys always bring a lot of really good things to the table, so I really, really appreciate it. Dana could be cracking me up. She's just saying that she hates blogs and they suck, and nowadays, you know, blogs are what is getting the news out there. The blogosphere is the news. Twitter is the news. I find out more on Twitter than I do watching TV. So it's, you know, and I remember a long time ago when I was a kid, there was a saying that if you ever want to hide something from black people, put it in a book.
Right.
And, you know, and I always thought that that was bullshit because I was one of them kids I loved to read. But, you know, I notice now people say that even more now. But I think in this day and age, you can't say if you ever want to hide stuff from people, put in a book, because now information is so different. We don't have to go to a book to go get information. Now information is at our fingertips. We live in a microwave society where we just get information like this, be it true or false. So I think if you ever want to hide the truth, just spin it how you want to spin it and let it trend on Twitter. Those are my words.
Look or tweet or Instagram. The news sources now. Or World Star Hip Hop.
Right. Yep. Those are the news sources. So we're down to the last 90 seconds. Thank you to everybody who came out. Thank you to everybody who sat on the phone and listened in. I appreciate you guys supporting me, and I will have some new videos up on YouTube this weekend. So we will see you guys next week. Same time, same place. And if you can get a hold of me, Ronan, go ahead and email us at tabletopcrew@gmail.com. All right. Peace.
Peace.